following that, we had another student, 13-year-old friend, pass away on Tuesday morning. And we've continued to work with law enforcement, moving through this process, working with our district counseling team, our Valley Behavioral Health state office, and now getting some national support as well. What any of the investigation pieces?
Any and the current ones? Is that what you're looking for right now?
Sure, if there's any updates.
Yeah, you betcha. And I have some information that was prepared. I'm not Chief Carpenter, I'm Phil Kirk with the Park City Police Department, but let me read you some information that we would like to share with the community. This morning, the Park City Police Department received a report of an attempted suicide by a 15-year-old Park City juvenile. Was a student at Park City High School. The juvenile was transported to an area hospital and is expected to be okay. The department is continuing an active investigation into the recent deaths of the two 13-year-old young men. While the investigations are ongoing and no conclusions can be made at this time, the police department and the Park City School District have jointly issued a community-wide alert about the synthetic research drug U47700, commonly known as PINK. Citizens are encouraged to contact the police department at 435-615-5500, our dispatch number, with any information. The police department would like to reiterate the assistance contained in the press release dated 9/13/16, where it indicates that the school district will continue to provide every resource possible to support our students. We have counselors in place from the Park City School District, Valley Behavioral Mental Health, and from the state of Utah. The school district will have extra support and resources available for any student at any time. We need your help right now to keep our students safe. In our work with the Park City Police Department, we feel the need to generally urge you to pay very close attention to your child's state of mind. If you feel that they're at risk for any dangerous behaviors, please keep them in your sight at all times. All suicidal thoughts, behaviors, and attempts should be taken seriously. Get help from 24/7 by calling the statewide crisis line at 801-587-3000 or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Help is also available online at www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Trained consultants will provide free and confidential crisis counseling to anyone in need. The Park City Police Department will continue to update the public with information as it becomes available. And then one thing just recent that we worked in conjunction with the school district today is providing canine searches of the premises to, and we're still doing that actually today, and we'll update you with whatever results we obtain from doing that. But that's another effort that jointly with us and the school district, we're trying to make the schools safer for the students and for the faculty.
So I didn't hear clearly, was the attempted suicide with the substance?
No, we have not determined that. No, it wasn't. It appears that it's actually with Tylenol, not with the substance.
Is this someone who felt emotionally connected to the two others in the past?
There's, we're investigating that's a possibility, yes.
Can you clarify the status of U47700? I understand the DEA added it to its temporary restricted substances just recently, September 7th, September 8th, roughly in that time frame. Does that make it an illegal substance?
We believe it does, and that's something that is new to us, too. We're looking into that possibility that on the 8th it was classified as a controlled substance and therefore illegal. But that's still something we're looking into, and it's a recent development.
Does that necessarily then create a greater legal consequence for someone if they were the ones that distributed it, if it does turn out that these two young men died from that?
Yes, it probably would. That's what we're looking at it very seriously now, and we don't have all the information yet on that, but it sounds like there is a strong possibility that recently it was put on as a controlled substance, and therefore we would be able to look at criminal charges based on that.
Captain, which schools were canine search performed at, and what went into the decision to go ahead and take that?
Do you want me to take that?
Yeah, probably the superintendent can help answer that question better than me.
Right. So one of the things that we are, this is an extremely urgent matter And so with that understanding, we searched lockers yesterday preliminarily. We had already contacted to say that we wanted to do the canines in to do the locker searches. And we found a substance in a very much like the picture that's been sent out in one of the lockers. We've sent it to the lab. It's come back that there is some methamphetamine in it. And so with that, we again have continued to look at any suspected lockers that we know of. And the canines went to the learning center and then to the high school. And this also includes our parking lots. And then they are headed. We made the decision to wait until the students at Treasure Mountain left for the day. And so they are there now just to not create any more trauma for those students in particular. And it looks like we have a couple of possibilities that we'll be checking into.
Can you clarify, you mentioned that there was a substance found. What school was that?
Treasure Mountain Junior High.
And that was during yesterday's?
Yep.
Was that in a general search, or was that...
We targeted specific lockers, knowing... So yesterday, just to let you know, what we do in these types of situations is you basically go in a room and you start doing webs. So webs of student names and then friendships and going back into the history, working with law enforcement if there's been any recent criminal activity. And we were able then to specifically target some of the students' lockers, and in one of those lockers we did find the substance.
Were the parents involved in any work?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Well, were the parents part of helping you identify?
No, and I would say based on the number of counselors that we had in the room and the level of our team knowing our students and then being able to use the information from law enforcement, from the information that they had provided us and social media, I would also say the students have a new level of, and I can't say enough how proud I am of our students, that even some of the students that have not been open about coming forward are coming forward and saying that they know where some of these, and again, we don't know if it's the exact substance, but of certain substances, and I'm sharing that.
Has more than what was found in the locker been discovered elsewhere in the community?
Not that I'm aware of.
So how many lockers were searched yesterday?
At Treasure Mountain Junior High, I think that there were probably specifically probably 10 to 15. Yes. Yes. So we follow a safe schools policy and a procedure, and it's definitely a process.
I know yesterday there was a little bit of a uncertainty as to whether canines could detect the substance. Pink is. I'm assuming now that you guys have found that they do detect it.
So actually, what was found was it was a white baggie, but it did have traces of the methamphetamines, and so. Some of the dogs are could possibly hit on that substance.
So you're not saying it's
pink? Not.
Fentanyl.
No, I'm not. One of the things, sorry, do you have
No, go
okay,
ahead. You're
sorry.
Doing great.
One of the things that we have learned is one of the containers that we've been able to confiscate that has been now sent back to the crime lab because they didn't have the test yet for the U4770, and so we're having that retested. So, and I think that's one of the scariest parts of this situation is that because this substance is so new, even our crime labs in our state and at the federal level, there's not the level of testing available.
So this food that you've got the substance in. Was it a distributable amount, or was it just personal use, or did you ask, did you have a question then about where they got it?
I don't have that information.
I don't, but Pat, what I did want to say is this new drug is a synthetic opioid, and the dogs are trained, the search dogs, to detect other opium substances. So we believe they might be able to detect this one, if not this, other similar type drugs. So. We think they're of value in making it safer by using the canines, and we've had a lot of agencies help us with that.
In the first minute of this press conference, one of the things you addressed is that there was an attempted suicide this morning. Why is it so important to draw that out? this morning or today. Why so important to get that information out today?
So one of the things that we know in working with students, and whether this is a suicide or not, but once you have a series of student deaths, there is a phenomenon that occurs that's called suicide contagion. And that's one of the things that we've been working with our experts and preparing for. And so when we also built the list of students that we knew were possibly involved in this, we also worked with our students that were at risk, that have dealt with maybe some type of other death, that oftentimes a situation like this will trigger that type of behavior.
You talked a lot yesterday about the webs of students and spiraling out from these two students that passed away. Was the student that attempted suicide this morning really close in that web? Was it potentially a sibling of one of the students that passed away?
I would say that if you consider an inner circle and an outer circle of friendship, she was in the inner circle.
Was it she?
I can't confirm that.
A mother said that she knew these students, and that this is a theory we didn't report, but she said she thought it was a suicide pact, that on Sunday, Grant died, and then on Tuesday, Ryan felt good. This was unsubstantiated. Is there any evidence that you have that either student, Sunday or Tuesday, committed suicide?
You know, we're not certain yet. It's too early in our investigation. We're looking at all possibilities, including that. And we do want to get information out there that this one does appear to be a suicide attempt. And we want parents and students to know that there are help for them. There are resources if they are contemplating that because of what's been going on.
And I would like to add, I met with the Park City Medical Team as well as Summit Pediatrics. We had a team of about 15 to 20 people that we specifically talked about these situations, and what they're now encouraging us to share with parents as far as, and I don't have the name of, it's an over-the-counter, do you recall what the name of the drug is that you can give to stop the reaction?
Like Narcan?
It is. Mm-hmm. That you can actually get at, behind, you can go to the pharmacy and get it, so it's basically, for no better word, like an EpiPen without a prescription. If you feel like your student's at risk and have possible substance, that this could at least help until help was on the way for 911. So that's some new information that we've just received. We're going to be getting that information out to parents. We're working with the health department as well to see if we can get some support.
Because if students are trying to commit suicide, that's a horrible tragedy. But I think parents out there are also going to be concerned if there's a drug going on that could kill them. So I think just for the parents out there who really want to know what you know, you can't tell them anything more if on Sunday or Tuesday these were suicide attempts or if there's this dangerous drug going around that could harm their kids.
No, I can say again, we're looking at those possibilities. We did put out with the school district a community-wide alert about drugs, particularly this particular drug, that is very, very dangerous and very powerful, and that's why we did that. It's because although we haven't at this point linked it with either one of the deaths, we're still concerned that that might be something that eventually will be linked to it.
And I can share on a level of what we receive from our students. At this point, we really are relying on our students heavily to be able to figure out what this is. I would say that we at least know it may not be this exact U4770. We do know that it was a new experimental substance that they hadn't used before.
If those boys had overdosed, it's so hard to imagine that there wouldn't have been some indication in their bedrooms, in their homes, I mean, on their person, that they had taken something that would have caused that. Or is that normal? Is that what you find?
And I would say, Because those two situations specifically are being investigated, whether there was or wasn't, I can't comment.
And I wouldn't comment either. We're still investigating all these possibilities, and when we can, we release information. We will. Right now, we feel that the best thing that we can release is information that might be helpful to kids and parents that might be dealing with this situation, either suicide or drugs or whatever, that there is help out there. There are counseling therapists available, and that's what we want them to know. It'll take us a while before we really with the help of the state crime lab, be able to get to the bottom of this. In the meantime, we don't want to see other kids hurt where we haven't provided them helpful information.
Because the toxicology, the people at the medical examiner's office been back in touch with us since the chief was asking for an expedited response?
No, he contacted him like you indicated, but they're going to expedite it. But how long that takes, they have not given us an indication or a timeline yet.
Dr. Conley, I just want to clarify something you just said a minute ago. You said we do know, based on what students have told you, we do know that these boys may have been experimenting with some substance. You are referring to the two young men who passed away.
I am.
Do you know that they were experimenting?
There was some social media and some chats going back and forth between a group of students. I would also say that there is some information that we continue to say if you see your student with bottles, nasal inhalants, eyedroppers that have no label on them, that those are the ones that you need to be most concerned about.
But can you be more specific on that same question? Were these two boys who died, are that social media chat that you were looking at? Are you treating this as a drug overdose death?
So, I mean, that's, of course, up to the police. But what I would say in working with students and spending a lot of time with students, they're at this point, first of all, they're giving you lots of information. And you have to filter that. They are still children that are giving you information.
And I agree. We're sifting through tons of information in the social media, emails, and people coming forward. And trying to determine what's actually occurred based on all these comments, it's going to take us a while.
So do you feel that we're experimenting with something that's given to
you? Well, again, we feel that that's a possibility. We're not sure, and it's going to take us a little while to make that clear determination.
Can you talk about how you monitor social media? Like, if I were to go on Twitter and Facebook, I know what I could do. Are you confiscating phones? Do you have an extra piece of technology and law enforcement? How are you monitoring all the social media chatter when you kind of talk ambiguously about there's talk about drugs in the school district? I'm just curious.
We have to be careful on how much we want to reveal on our investigative techniques, because then that might undermine our ability to do those in the future. So many of those things that you mentioned we are doing, but I can't say specifically what we're doing on this case, but that is part of it.
Right. So technology-wise, our students do have a computer that we provide for them, and in any student that's been in question, we've confiscated that computer.
Captain, it might be a little premature to use the term suspect since you're still trying to determine if this drug was indeed a controlled substance, but if it does prove to be that way, are you guys looking at any specific person that may have been distributing a drug or a substance?
That's one of the directions we're going with our investigation. We haven't, we're not ready to indicate who those individuals are or individual, but we are looking at that as a possibility, and that is part of our future investigation.
What's your message to someone who might be distributing this drug in Park City to students?
How dangerous it is, and I don't think these young people realize that they're dealing with such a powerful drug. It's so new, and it's kind of in experimental stages, and they're experimenting with a drug that I just don't think they realize how deadly it can be. And so we want them, and that's why we put out the community alert, to give them some more information on how dangerous it can be and letting their parents know how to recognize it too. And I think one of the things that, adding to the superintendent's comments, is that we want parents to recognize that, you know, shipments from other countries, particularly China, might be including something like this particular drug. That, again, kids just don't realize how powerful, how dangerous, how lethal this particular drug is.
I noticed your counselor couldn't make it today. Have they been especially busy with students? How busy with students?
Right. So what we, again, working with our web of students, we had specific people assigned to specific children. And then as parents have come to the schools and shared information, as students have shared information, she's actually with the rest of the counseling team and doing a debrief and doing our next steps. So, you know, we do have students that we're very concerned about. And I would say, even working last night, we had several assessments being done with individual students. We had well child checks being done by the police department, both in county or in city and then out in the county. We're taking this extremely serious. And if I could say one more thing to our parents, is go through your students, your child's bedroom. Open the door, even at, and I have a teenager, so I know how scary it can be, but go through your, go through their stuff. It's that serious. And again, I say that, you know, in our career, we see substance abuse, we see marijuana, we see pills. This, because this is so new, and we don't know the level of toxicity that it could have even to touching it, it's that dangerous.
I think you guys sent out the email blasts and phone calls yesterday morning. I'm curious what attendance was like yesterday and today. Are, you know, parents worried about this to the point that they're keeping their students out of school?
No, actually, attendance was very good today. One of the things that we continue to say is during these types of traumatic situations, the best thing that you can do for your kid is continue that routine and that normalcy to help them cope.
Did the mobile app roll out today?
Okay, great. Thank you. It did. So we had been scheduled to do the Safe UT app later in October, and today the state made it all possible that we could download it. We had tutorials set up that the teachers did, and the students then downloaded that app. And so what that is if they have a tip, they can anonymously do that via their phone directly to the school principal. And also, if they need any support type of crisis counseling, you can chat directly with a counselor.
If I missed it, where was this possible pinky substance found? Which school?
I'm going to go back to, we don't know if that's what it is at all. We do know that there was traces of methamphetamines in that, and it was at Treasure Mountain Junior High.
And was it the powdery substance?
It was in a white baggie.
Okay. And that was found today?
When we did the locker cleans yesterday.
And the student who had attempted suicide, that was from Tylenol this morning?
That's
so
the information
that's
that we
the information
have.
We have so far.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Typically, those SIAC alerts, how does that work? Like, does it go in place for a certain amount of time? Is there some resolve that occurs legally? And how does it come about, and then how does it disappear?
Well, I think because there's this latest one came out because there was a growing concern that in the state of Utah and nationwide, that they sent out that information bulletin to us. And I think they're going to update that. Based on the question and the comment that he made about it now becoming illegal. We believe that it is an illegal controlled substance now, and that the previous information bulletin from the SIAC indicated it was not. So I know that they're planning on putting an update to that, and it's very helpful information to law enforcement to kind of get them up to speed on the latest on new problems, law enforcement problems, or drugs such as this.
Two questions, probably best for Dr. Conlon. The student that we were worried about that attempted suicide this morning, we believe it. Was that student on the checklist? Did police go to that student's house last night to check off on them? And the other thing is how many, maybe that's one student that had tried to commit suicide, but you mentioned suicide contagion. How many reports have you got from students directly, your counselors, that are mm-hmm. having suicidal thoughts?
I don't have that number right now. Again, we're going to be debriefing with the rest of our team at 4:15 this afternoon. So I'm sure that they would have that information.
Again, not getting any identifiers on that student, male, female, age, what school?
No.
Were they on the checklist last night? Did police go to check if they're asked if they were okay?
I don't know specifically about that, but we do know that we had the student particularly working with the parent.
Have you been to your door-to-door visits, checking in, that type of thing? How many are
we
talking about?
For the last 2 days, I would say, 20 or so at least. And some of them were phone calls. You could contact them that way. But we're concerned about the welfare of the children. And when there's information that we get that increases our concerns, then we'll try to contact them with either door-to-door or by phone.
Not so much investigative as well child.
Right. It's not not so much as far as this investigation to part of that, but really to make sure that they're okay.
Can you explain the locker checks? I know parents can request a locker check for their student, and then you know this better than I. Reasonable cause you can search.
Right.
Are you just searching everyone now, or what is the protocol to search?
Well, so first of all, in the state of Utah, it's Utah law that, first of all, the lockers are property of the school district. And so that's sometimes questioned, but that is the state law. And basically anything that arrives on our property, we can have the right to search. So that does include, that's why we search the parking lots as well. We can search vehicles, et cetera. We did have, I mean, this has raised a level of concern that we did have enough of the students that we wanted to see if that there were any substances. And again, that's how we found it last night.
So was this searching every single locker in the school or a targeted locker?
Targeted. Right, so we have our canines in this afternoon. They've already been at the high school and learning center, and they're probably at Treasure Mountain.
And those are targeted also?
Those are not targeted. Those are every locker, every car in the parking lot.
And I would add that it's not just for detection and prosecution, but it's for deterrence. We want to discourage kids from bringing drugs into the schools by them knowing that we're going to conduct, at the request of the school district, checks of their lockers with canines.
Can I check something you guys have done in the past, or is this a new thing?
We've done them in the past.
You've had a lot of messages for parents. Look through their stuff, talk to them, send a lot of alerts. Just from personal experience, talk to them. They're worried sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything reassuring to tell them?
I do. First of all, I would say that our students and our parents are coming forward with information, and we have both at a level of peer-to-peer. We are getting such a positive response from the peer saying you've got to get rid of this. We don't want to lose one more of us. So that's been extremely positive. I would say too that there is a definite awareness around how important those relationships and talking to your student has been, and even to the point of how can we build those relationships better with our students when they're really stubborn at this age. They might say, I don't want to talk to you. Well, let's make an opportunity where we can talk to you. Let's go to the grocery store together. I mean, it sounds silly, but that's how we build those relationships and get information to keep our kids safe.
We've heard a lot about Park City, obviously, in your case. Is there a reason demographically or anything like that all of a sudden Park City is dealing with this and we're not hearing about it in Salt Lake City or other places, or is it just that we're not hearing about it?
I would say that this happens everywhere. It's just unfortunate that we've been the ones that are dealing with a possible new substance. But I would say this could definitely be a trend moving forward because of the easy access that you have to the substances that you can buy from China.
And I agree. I think, this substance, until maybe recently, was legal. And other states have been dealing with this. We've had two confirmed deaths in the state of Utah, and on the East Coast there's been a number of these, and I think
Ohio.
We're just kind of catching up to that now, and I hope that what we're thinking has happened is that it now has been scheduled as an illegal drug, but it's just taken us a little while to do that, and we're not the only community that's dealing with this.
Is there an age demographic with the other deaths that have occurred in the country?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. I have to do some research on that. Don't know.
And I shared this yesterday. This has been one of the scariest things that I've dealt with, and so that was the reason behind meeting with our medical staff here in the community and with our public health official to see what we can find out about it, what we can learn from other medical, from the universities if they have any information that we can share. And it really has built an understanding and need for all communities to work with our medical professions, because oftentimes they're separated. And it's understandable because of our HIPAA laws and because of what we deal with confidentiality. But this was, again, in a bad situation, something very positive that's happened within our community in working with our medical providers.
And I would say, too, that although we are somewhat reacting to the first death, immediately we put out a community action alert to provide information, helpful information to the students and to their parents about the dangers of this drug, even though we still have not linked it to the deaths. But we had enough information about this drug that we were concerned that rather than wait and delay that, we provided that information up front. And hopefully that's going to help somebody.
I'm curious about how the families of the boys are doing, and is there a community-wide message that that our station could submit to the community in terms of things that they could use or need or that type of a public service?
Well, first of all, knowing that privacy and grieving takes, you know, first of all, privacy for the family, but grieving is different for every family. And how families deal with that is different. And we do, of course, have siblings that we're being extra careful with managing and dealing with the families. I don't specifically have what next. You know, I do know our faith-based community has come around the families and provided support. And I would have to ask the counselors that have worked directly with these families because we have counselors that know the families and have a longstanding relationship with them.
We don't report on suicide, so we normally wouldn't have known about this today. But with three teenagers who have either died or attempted to commit suicide, I mean, is this a crisis? What level is this at? Because I'm trying to unpack all the different layers of it, and it's obviously a scary time for the community.
So, I would, going back to, you know, the term of crisis, I would say that anything that I've ever been trained in, this would be a crisis. One, because we're losing lives, and the research that you have around whether it's a suicide or this specific drug, we know we have a very serious issue. And it's not just affecting our students, it also is affecting our adults. And as a very tight-knit community that I keep saying loves our children, not that another community doesn't, but that so many people come to Park City to raise their kids. This has brought a whole new level of urgency and in a way that we've got to step in and really change it. And I would also say even to the point of, yes, we're dealing with a crisis here, but we have a much bigger issue that you go outside of our Park City boundaries, you go outside of our Utah boundaries, and that's the situation that we're dealing with. These things being imported into our country that are extremely toxic and dangerous.
You mentioned the dog searches were going on in every locker. That's happening now at Treasure Mountain. You mentioned that they're going in the parking lots too. Are they searching the parking lots at Treasure Mountain? Those kids are 13. They don't grab.
You know, and I should have clarified. We searched the parking lots at our learning center in the high school. We haven't released the gender.
I said the student is a high school student. Yes, I did indicate that.